And today, we're going to speak on this topic of how to enter the kingdom of God, how to enter heaven. So John chapter 3, we're going to read from verse 1 through to verse 7, and then I'll read verse 16. Notice what the Bible says there on John chapter 3, beginning from verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, surely, surely, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb to be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Notice verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, notice this promise now, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father in heaven, we come before you once more this morning, asking for your grace upon us. We ask that the power of your word will rest upon each and every single heart to come to the knowledge of the truth. We pray, Lord, that you'd remove any hindrance, any distraction from our hearts, Lord. We pray that we'd surrender our attention and our focus to the Word of God. And Father, that you know what's in our hearts and minds, we pray that, Father, we can submit to the truth of your Word, rather than the philosophy of this world or the philosophy of religion. We just pray that, Father, that your Word will be preeminent and that you will prevail in our hearts to know the truth that will make us free. Father, some have been freed from your Word already. They can give testimony on that. They can say, Lord, 100% that they know you and you know them. But perhaps, Father, there's one or two, three in this room today that cannot say that. I pray you'd speak to their hearts and let them know this, you love them. Edge that in their hearts, Lord, and give them the knowledge of the truth of how they can have their sin forgiven, Lord, and establish a relationship with the Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. It's amazing how Jesus answers Nicodemus' statement. Nicodemus makes a statement. He says in verse 2 that he came by night, but then he says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do. And it's amazing how Jesus just answers that statement. It's almost like as if he asked the question, but he didn't. And Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus was kind of cutting to the chase, wasn't he? He doesn't beat around the bush about his eternal soul. He's concerned about Nicodemus, and no doubt he should be. If there was anything so important in a person's life, it would be how we can have a relationship with our Creator and know our eternal destiny. Jesus was more concerned about Nicodemus than what Nicodemus was concerned about. He knew the authority of Jesus Christ. He knew the power of God upon his life. And he surely perhaps would have known that this could be the Messiah. We know that you've come from God. That's one thing. The developing of knowing him to be the Messiah would have come at a later time. We don't know whether it would come at this time. But Jesus makes it very clear to Nicodemus that a person cannot see the kingdom of heaven unless he is born again. And what does that term mean, to be born again? Well, Jesus explains it in the passage, and it's in verse 5. Notice what Jesus says there. And he answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He says, that which is, don't miss it now, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Now, a lot of people would say, according to this verse here, that the water here means water baptism. You need to be baptized by water. No matter how old you are, we just need to do it. And that can be a way in which you can enter into heaven when you're baptized by water. But Jesus wasn't talking about being baptized by water. If you read the context of the passage, we understand he was talking about the first birth and the second birth. There's nothing here about being baptized by water. Okay, that which is, he goes to explain what it means to be born of water and the Spirit. In the next verse, he says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. You were born from your parents. You were born from the line of Adam, flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. To be born again is this, is to simply be born into God's family. Okay, so we're born from our parents, now we need to be born of God. Now, I received an email yesterday from one of our church member family saying, happy birthday. And they said this, they said, remember, you can't have the second one without the first. So it's worthy to give thanks, amen? Amen. And that's so true. I kind of, you know, would not make a big deal about the first birthday, but man, I began to ponder upon that, and it's so true. You can't have the second birth. And this is what plagues my mind all the time, that without the first birth, without God giving us a chance to live, to be born into this world, you know, we wouldn't be here. So the truth of the matter is, if it weren't for God, you and I wouldn't even have the first birth. We wouldn't even live life here on earth, let alone go to heaven. And let me just say, it is by God's hand that you and I were made. This world will have you to believe that you're some kind of accident that happened. But the Bible says here in Psalm 100 and verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it is he that hath made us, and we not ourselves. The Bible says in Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into the nostrils, in his nostrils, and the breath of life. And the man, notice this now, became a living soul. You know what that means? He's a living being. He'll never die. See, your body is made from dust, but what gives you life, if God breathing in the nostril of Adam, and he became a living soul. One day your body's going to die. It's going to go back to the dust, but your soul will live on forever. And you were made by God. And let me just say, a lot of people in this world will want you to believe that you're an animal, that you evolved from the animal kingdom, and that you're a monkey. Isn't that foolish? That you're an accident that happened. By the way, accidents only cause chaos. Okay, they never cause. I love what my dear brother, he said, we were fellowshipping my dear brother here about a couple of weeks ago. He goes, if we came in this Big Bang Theory and all happened, won't our eyes be like one here and one here? Why can they, like, they're perfect together. You know, God made things perfect together. It's so true. Why is every the body's made perfectly together and there's some order there? By the way, your fingerprints don't match mine. That means that you are unique. Notice what the Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 14. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. How marvelous is thy works. God formed you, made you, and therefore, because of that, you are precious in His sight. Because of His hand, His created hand, you're unique. He has proved that by stamping that on your fingerprints, that He's made you personally. And it's a wonderful thing. Now, but what is the reason that God, Jesus Christ, says to Nicodemus, not only to Nicodemus, but ye must be born again, everyone in this world? What's the reason for that? Well, in Romans chapter 5, notice what it says in verse 2. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You ever wonder why people are dying, decaying? It's because of sin. Sin entered into the world, and therefore death has come upon all men are the result of sin. In the beginning, when God made man, he gave Adam one command. But I want you to notice this. With that one command, God gave Adam loving warning. Notice what it says there in Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. We don't have time to spend here, but that we see that God gave Adam responsibility. And verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden they may freely eat. By the way, God's not holding back anything from us. The devil would have you to believe that God's holding back. But that's the lie of the devil. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. And there's a reason for that. Okay, now here is the warning. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what? Die. And so you know what happened. Eve was deceived. Adam disobeyed. Genesis 3 verse 4 to 6. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. That's the philosophy of the world today. Really, everyone has some sort of philosophy what's going to happen after life. What's going to happen when you die? Some say you're just going to be buried in the ground 6 foot under. You tell them where you're going to spend eternity? In the grave. Some say to you, I'll come back as a cockroach or an animal or something. Everyone has certain different philosophies, and they're all just made up lies of the devil. And he said to the woman, he says, you're going to die. It's going against God's word. God promised the day you eat from this tree, you will surely die. The devil says, no, you're not. You'll be right. And that's what the devil is doing today. And verse 5, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened. Notice this phrase, and ye shall be as gods. God's holding back from you because he knows that if you eat from this tree that will give you the knowledge of good and evil, you can run your own life and you could be the little g God doing what you want to do outside of God's authority. Hence the curse is upon us. Don't we do that? We live our lives independently outside of God, even as Christians. You know it, the flesh has a pull and it's so strong that we just govern our lives and we forget to bring God in our lives in every single decision that we make. And that's part of the curse of death. Knowing good and evil, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat, disobeyed God. And the thing is this, God will not allow any sin or sinful people in heaven. The reason of being born again. Because God will not, because he's holy and righteous, he would not allow sin to enter his throne. The reason why he says, now you need to be born again. You need to be born of God. You need to have my spirit in you. Become part of my family, God's family, in order for you to get to heaven. Now, let me just say, how does a person become God's child? How are we born into God's family? Well, let me give you a few thoughts that no religion or religion or duties or a religious person will enter the kingdom of heaven. I want to give you some thoughts how it's not you're not able to get there. And then right at the end, I want to share from the Bible how you can be born into God's family. But first of all, it's not through any kind of religion. No religion. I mean, if anyone was religious, it was Nicodemus. He was the ruler of the Jews. He knew the Bible, or at least the law, and many other laws added to it. Man, he sat in Moses' seat, taught the commandments of Moses, and then some. And so if anyone was religious, it was Nicodemus. I was asked the question, what about these good people that have their own religion? Would they go to heaven? Why would they go to hell? I mean, I'll get this asked several times. I mean, once upon a time when I wasn't a Christian, I'd ask that. What about, as long as they're good in their religion and they're doing the best that they can, they don't know any better, they could go. You see, I was coming up with my philosophy, and the philosophy is still the same, still going around. As long as they're doing good in their religion, they're doing the best that they can. But you see, it's not a problem with religion. The religion is not the very key that stops, people. What is it? It's sin. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a sinner. You see what I'm saying? Muslim, Buddhist, Catholic, Baptist, Seventh-day Adventist, Jehovah's Witness. You can be any one of these. You can even follow the Bible and be a Bible-believing Christian. But you still have a sin problem. I mean, we're talking about Jesus coming to his own chosen people, his own elect, the nation of Israel, saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you, the ruler of the Jews, my elect, you need to be born again. Doesn't matter how much you know. Doesn't matter how religious you are. And you see, a lot of people ask, I say, if you die today, do you know where you're going? I say, I'm not religious. I say, I'm not either. I'm not going to heaven because I'm religious. But a lot of people think that they need to be having some sort of religion to get to heaven. But Jesus says, not because of religion. Notice what the Bible says there, if you would, in Matthew 3, 8 to 9. I'm just showing these on the screen as I do from time to time, just to save time. Notice what the Bible says, saying this to the religious rulers, to the Jews. Notice what he says, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. He's saying this to his own elect, his own chosen people, that they needed to repent and turn from their ways and come back. And he says, I want to see some fruit of a true heart for God. And he says, this is what I don't want you to say. Notice verse 9. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Don't justify yourself by saying that Abraham is your father, that you've come here from his lineage, from his line. He says, notice what he continues to say. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children of Abraham. That's what he's saying here. Well, just because you're, a Jew or from the line of Abraham does not mean you're going to get to heaven automatically. And just let me just say it so we can understand better. Just because you're born in a Christian home does not mean you're going to go to heaven. It's not about religion. It's not even about the right kind of belief. By the way, let me just say, religion is a set of beliefs. When I speak to atheists, they say, I'm not religious. I say, yeah, you kind of. We know what we mean when we say, I'm not religious either. In other words, we don't do rituals and practices like that. We're saved by those things, amen? But in essence, religion is a set of beliefs. It's a belief system. And I said to him, you kind of are religious. You believe in something. You believe many, 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 many years ago, many millions of years ago. So it is a belief system. But that system, that belief of just knowing and having it as a name would not get you to heaven. Because we have a sin problem. Second of all, what would not get us to heaven is keeping the Ten Commandments. Again, some Pharisees would have seemed to be so zealous in keeping the law, they sat in Moses' seat. They taught the law. But there's one problem. There's one problem in this situation. If you had to keep the law or the Ten Commandments, we can say the moral law. We won't talk about the oral law, which the Pharisees had added to the Sabbath day time and time again. Man, if anything was observed, it was the oral law of the Pharisees, which they added to the Sabbath. You know, if you hear some of these laws that they had on the Sabbath, you think, really, they had that? One law is ladies could not look in the mirror on the Sabbath. That would be tough for some of us, amen, before coming to church. And the reason why is because it will take work to pull out a white hair if she saw one. See a white hair, and that would be effort to pull it out. And they said, no looking in the mirror for ladies. Yeah, they had many, many other things. So another thing that they had was if you were going to have breakfast on the Sabbath and your chicken laid an egg on the Sabbath, you can eat that egg as long as you killed the chicken the next day. Because the chicken sinned for laying the egg on the Sabbath. I mean, they had so many things like that. But look, listen, let's talk about the moral law Let's talk about thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. I mean, come on. Every single one of us has broken at least one of these commandments, if not more. And if we're going to heaven by the Ten Commandments, you know what? We have to keep them all, but we cannot. That is what James says. James chapter 2, verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. The Ten Commandments were put there, number one, in order for us to live by them, because we were sinners. Number two, they were our schoolmaster to bring us to God, to have his mercy upon us. They were like a mirror saying, Lord, I cannot live up to these perfect. I fail, I fall short. So it's not by the law. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So how does a person become a child of God? It's not by the religious. It's not by keeping the law. We're going to skip Luke 18, Tom, and move on. And it's not by doing good works. Many people today believe that when you get to heaven, how to get to heaven is by being a good person. I mean, if there was anything that would come to that answer when I ask them the question how to get there, that would be that. Just be a good person. Just do good. Do good to your fellow man. And, you know, if there was any two main, you know, golden rule or commandments of God, it was to love God with all your heart, mind, body, and love your neighbor as yourself. But it seems to me that the world wants to live by the second commandment, to do good to man more than the first commandment. By the way, let me just say, you will never be able to love your neighbor as yourself if you don't love God first and the love of God is not in your heart. Because it was only by him and being born of God that we can love people the way he loved us. So it's not by good works. And let me just say, if it is, how much or how, you know, good, the amount of it, measure it. We sometimes have a scale and we kind of say, okay, if my good outweighs my bad, then, you know, maybe I'll get to heaven. That still doesn't give you assurance. And by the way, let me just say this. If we may try to do good and if we just, you know, from time to time, and it's not enough, because by nature we're sinners. See, God is good. Amen. He doesn't have to try to be good. He doesn't have to try to do good. We do, because we're sinners. And you know what the crazy thing about it is when we do good, we want to be like kind of saying, look, see what I've done? When God says, no, hang on a minute, that's what you should be. You know, it's a funny thing, I'll give you an example. When I became a Christian 11 years ago, you know, I lost my license three times, maybe even four, before I knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I became a Christian, and praise God, I've got 12 points for several years. And I praise God for that. I was really bad. One area that God was working my heart and still revising every now and then. Many of you can testify to that, and even in your own life, okay? Especially when you're in a hurry. You want to, you know. But let me just say, you know, I was driving. I've never driven like this before because I feared God. By the way, driving on the roll, keeping the law of the land is not going to get me to heaven. The thing is being born again is what gets you to heaven. Okay, and it's reason being born again is that helps me keep the law of the land, or any law for that matter. But the fear of God and wanting to please God, because, you know, I was a child of God, was there, and I was driving fantastic. I tell you, I said, where's the coppers now? Where are they? Let me pull them over and say, Charlie, you've been so good on the road. I thought that. I thought, here's 3 points on your license and here's $250. Because I've never driven like that in my life. But then I began to think, and the Holy Spirit began to minister to me, saying, Charlie, that's foolish. You don't get rewarded for what you should be doing. Yeah, that's what you should be doing. The reason why there's a 40 zone there in the school so you don't run over kids. You should be doing that. You don't get rewarded for something you should be doing. And let me just say, we are not good people. We're sinners that do good from time to time that helps us get by. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. That's why we need a savior. And then we're going to get to that for a moment. But that's the most common thing in the world today. I'll just do good. How much good is it? Tell me, how much good do you have to do? The Pharisees, man, if anyone was trying to do good, it was them. But they always tried to look good from the outside, didn't they? But they knew, and even God knew what was in their heart. And let me just say, you know what's in your heart. And God will reveal it to you. That there's covetousness. There's envy. There's lust. There's pride. It's like the hot water situation with a tea bag that once was given. You know, you have a tea bag and you have hot water. When that tea bag goes in the hot water, that hot water illustrates the circumstances of life, and the tea bag represents our heart. When it goes in there, the hot water only reveals what's in our heart. And when everything's going handy-dandy in life, it's good to be good, eh? But what about when things go wrong? When someone pushes a button, someone gets on your right, wrong side, or someone, you know, hey, the flesh comes out. We're not. We can't do good to get to heaven. None of us can. This concept of being good to Nicodemus, being born again to Nicodemus, would have been just simply confusing. Because for a Pharisee, doing good and keeping this and keeping that was, something that they lived by to earn God's favor or grace upon their lives. Okay, so let's get to it. How is a person, or how does a person become a child of God and born into the family of God? Well, notice 1 Peter. If you want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And notice beginning from verse 23. I mean, if there was any clear passage of scripture about being born in God's family, this is it. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, okay, which is the flesh, that's the corruptible seed, that's the seed from Adam, the first Adam at least, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which is Jesus Christ, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is what? As grass. So he's likened this body, this flesh like grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So he says, this is it. How are you born to this God's family? By the word of God, which is the gospel, which gets me to ask another question. What is the gospel? Okay, we go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. By the way, the gospel simply means the good news. So what's the good news according to 1 Corinthians 15? And that's what it is. We have good news, amen. God gives us good news, not bad news. Don't know why the world's so against this good news about God's love for them and want them to simply come to the knowledge of the truth. Notice verse 1 in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, moreover, brethren, he says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are what? Saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And I hope that there are anyone here that have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that, here it is, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. That's the only way that you and I are able to be born into God's family, is by receiving the finished work of Jesus Christ, the penalty that was paid for our sin, the judgment which he took on our behalf. He died for our sins. Amen. He became sin. That through him, his poverty, you and I can be rich and freed from sin. And he went to that cross and he went through hell, so you and I don't go to hell. He paid for that. He took the suffering and the shame and the judgment. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And he took that death for you and for me. So it's through the death of Jesus Christ that you and I can be forgiven of our sin and have a new relationship with God through him. It's not through water baptism. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. People teach you that you get into the water by baptism, get to heaven. That takes away from the blood of Jesus Christ. Water baptism only comes after you receive Jesus Christ as your salvation. Now, that's another sermon, but let's continue to read. So it's the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the scripture. He died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You see that? There had to be a resurrection. If there's no, the whole point of the passage, 1 Corinthians 15, if there's no resurrection, Christ is dead in vain and your faith in him is in vain. Why? Because this quickening spirit, this born again, this regeneration is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He conquered death. Yeah, he died for our sin, but he's a living God. And through his resurrection, you or anyone that is in Christ that has received the gift of eternal life will live again. Amen. Eternal life. Amen. That's the gospel. It's not through religion, not through good Ten Commandments, not through good works, but through Jesus Christ. And the Bible says there, notice in Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedient, many were made what? Because of Adam. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That's Jesus Christ. We were born in the flesh, we're finished. Born in the Spirit of God, we're made righteous. We're justified. You know what that means in Christ? As if you've never sinned. In Christ, he gives you that. You become God's, adopted into God's family. That's wonderful. By the way, that takes the weight off trying to do this and do that, and you just can't do it because you and I, we are a sinning machine. We are. We just don't. Unbelievable. That's why we need a Savior. Amen. That's why we get frustrated when we try to do it ourselves. Religion is frustrating, my friend. Religion will bring depression into your life. You know, religion tells you to do. The Bible says through Jesus Christ, it's been done. He says, it's finished. I love you. I died for you according to the scriptures. It's not by religion. Jesus said this in John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus didn't say, I am a way. Jesus said, I am the way. The only door to heaven is through Jesus Christ and not by keeping the law. Notice what Acts, the book of Acts says in 13. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe the what? Justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by what? The law of Moses. There's no way in the world that you trying to keep the law of Moses that will justify you, because every single person in this room has broken. Now, and it's not by works. For Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. You know what grace means? God's love. You know what grace means? God's gift of mercy to you. God has extended his love toward you. He loves you and he died for you and didn't have to do it. That's his grace. And by faith is that we believe that God loves us. So we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the what? A gift of God. Not of what? Works, lest any man should boast. So we're not saved by religion. We're not saved by keeping the law of Moses. We're not saved by good works, by the way. Paul the Apostle said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, that if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead for nothing. If you can get to heaven by the law, being good, let me answer this question. Why did Jesus Christ die? Because you and I cannot get to heaven any other way but through him. It's not keeping the Sabbath. I'm sorry. It's not being baptized. It's not praying five times a day. It's not trying to be good. It's through Jesus Christ. It's through what he did. Notice in our text as we close, we're coming to the end. In John chapter 3, notice verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let me ask yourself this question. Why is the wonderful gift of God given to us? Why? Why did God give this wonderful gift of coming down, being manifested in the flesh, to die and suffer a cruel death for the sins of the whole world? Well, John 3:16, because God loves you. Amen. He loves you. God loves you. He died for you. Laid down his life. And you know what makes it so beautiful? Is the fact that he didn't have to do it. He says, I laid down my life for my sheep. I gave my back to the smiters. He did it willingly. Amen. And he endured the suffering. And he did it with joy. Why? Because he wants to see you in heaven with him. Because he loves you. He's not against you. He's for you. And he wants you to be with him. Another reason found in that verse is because he doesn't want you to perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That he doesn't want you to, whoever believes in him should not what? Perish. God doesn't want you to die in your sin and be judged for it. He loves you and he wants to save you from the judgment to come. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's nothing that you could do or can't do. There's nothing that you will do or can't. God loves you the same. Look, think about this. He loves you even when you were a sinner. And that's unconditional love. That's love out of the world, that God loves me even I turn my back away from him in the truth and dabbled in things that I'm ashamed even to speak about. He loved me. Amen. He doesn't want me to die. But what does he want me to have? Everlasting life. Amen. God wants you to be in heaven with him. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. And that promise is the gift of God through Jesus Christ, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want you to perish in your sin. He doesn't want you to die in your sin. He wants you to come back to him. He wants you to repent of your way. Turn your back on your own efforts and your own kind of thinking philosophy. Turn your back on sin and with your mind come to God. With your heart say, God, dear God, I want to come back to you. And the God has made it a way through Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no other way. It's a wonderful gift. And God has given it to you because he loves you. Doesn't want to see you perish and go to hell. He wants you to have everlasting life. Romans chapter 6 verse 23, the Bible mentions, for the wages of sin is death. But, I love that but. Amen. But, the gift of God is eternal life through who? Jesus Christ. Not through religion, not through good works, keeping the law, no, through Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that God is pleased. Behold the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. There he is. Please understand, and this is crucial to understand, that if people miss out on heaven and don't see it nor enter therein, and they end up perishing in their sin and dying and going to hell, it's not because God didn't love them. On the contrary, he proved it by laying down his life for them. Amen. But it's because they have rejected the gift of God. In other words, they have rejected Jesus Christ and his sin offering. They have rejected the love of God and didn't love him in return. You know what Paul says to the Corinthians? Notice. He says this, if any man Love not the Lord Jesus. And the only way that you can love the Lord Jesus is when you see his love for you and you accept it. You say, thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. I want to love you back. And that's just having that heart to love the Lord, because you see how much he's loved you. And he says, anyone that doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema and maranatha. Let him be a curse. And brethren, friends, let me just say, the curse of death that is by sin will remain on you, and you'll be judged for it if you don't come to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you the truth. Amen. You'll be accursed. You'll face the judgment of God. God doesn't want that. Amen. He laid down his life. He came as a lamb. 120 years God gave for the people in the day of Noah to repent. 120 years he was long-suffering. And there was one door to escape the judgment of God. You know who's that door today? Jesus Christ. Amen. He says, I am the door. I am the door. Notice, and as we finish John chapter 3, verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to what? Condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son, because he's still in the flesh, he's still in his sin, and he still has the curse of death on him. He's condemned already because he has not come to the Lord Jesus Christ and believed on him. As we continue to see this second birth, in 1 Corinthians 15 and 45, the Bible says, and so is it written, the first man, Adam, was a living soul. Remember? We spoke about that. But the last Adam was a quickening spirit. Listen. You're an eternal soul. You're an eternal being. Heaven, eternal life, or hell, eternal death. A lot of people say, we don't believe in hell. Again, let me ask you the question. Why did Jesus Christ suffer a cruel death? Why did he go through all that trouble for the pain and agony? And he had his back plowed. He had his beard ripped off his face. Why did he go through the crucifixion? Why did he endure the cross? Because there is a hell, and he doesn't want you to go there. And everyone in Adam will die in their sin, but those that are in Christ will be quickened, born again, born into God's family. Notice verse 50. He says, in this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot what? Enter the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. The need of being born again, John 3, 7, Jesus says, look it, marvel not, make no bones about it. Don't murmur or mutter under your breath. Ye must be born again. It's not just an option, it's a requirement that needs to be considered. It's not one of the options, it's a vital requirement for your dear soul. Amen. He says, ye must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever wondered why Nicodemus came by night? Have you ever thought about that? Why did he come to see Jesus by night? Now, we can only speculate because we really don't know. But it could be that he wanted some time with Jesus one-on-one. Jesus was busy doing miracles, loving people, telling them about the truth of the kingdom. And maybe he wanted that one-on-one time. Or it could be that he was afraid of his Pharisee friends. I don't know. He was afraid of men. Maybe, there's Nicodemus, you know, he's going to see Jesus. He's the ruler of the Jews. What's he going to see Jesus for? I don't know. But you know what intrigues me is the fact that he came to Jesus and he wanted to get it right. And by the end of chapter 19, the Gospel of John, we see that Nicodemus became a disciple, or we can say a child of God. In verse 39, I just want to show you this briefly. And there came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night. So the same person that came by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloe, about 100-pound weight. These were the spices in which he would bring with Joseph Arimathea, which purchased the tomb for Jesus, to wrap him up and make sure he had a good burial. He, a Pharisee, born again, following the Lord Jesus Christ, a religious man, converted, amen, become a child of God. Listen, let me say something. Please, I beg you, this man, if he could come to Jesus and be saved and not worry about other people, or not worry about what would perhaps take place if he did come, what about you? Amen. Don't let anything or anyone stop you from coming to Jesus. Amen. I think the greatest thing, or the saddest thing, people miss out of heaven because they're afraid of what other people think of them. And that's the saddest thing. Please, I beg you, be more concerned about what God thinks of you. Worry about your eternal soul. Matthew 16:26 says this: "For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and then he loses his soul?" I mean, honestly, let's just say you got what you wanted out of life. Let's just say you got the whole world's favor. Let's just say you got 10 million likes on Facebook. Everyone loves you. Let's just say you got the house that you wanted, the car that you wanted, the career that you wanted, the kids that you wanted. You got everything in this life. And you enjoyed the sin of this life. You lived without God. But then you lost your soul. How sad. How sad. But look what he says in the second part of that verse. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What is it, my friend here today, that's stopping you from coming to Jesus Christ? Whatever it is, Jesus says to Nicodemus and to us, verily, verily, truly, truly, amen, amen, let it be, surely, surely, no one will ever see the kingdom of God except he is born again. No one will see the face of heaven unless they come and trust and believe on my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I beg you with all my heart this morning, don't let anyone or anything hinder you from coming to Christ and being born again. In other words, being born into his family, being a child of God. God loves you. He loves every bit of you. Amen. Say how? Because he died for you. Amen. But he can't force you to love him. He cannot. He's waiting for you to see this wonderful gift, to be enlightened about the truth and say, God, I can't believe you love me that much. But I sure need it. Please. And then you call out. I made that decision 11 years ago. By the way, it was the best decision I've ever made. Amen. Did I get persecuted? Whew. Man, I thought people were going to be glad that I came to the Lord and I'm changing my life. I was a rat bag before I knew the Lord. But the book came alive. Amen. Unless you're born again, except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Please, it's not an option that you can choose. It's a vital requirement. Jesus said it. Ye must. How to get to heaven? Be born into God's family through Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross, accepting that with all your heart, thanking God for it, and you become a child of God. Simple faith in a great Savior. And I pray that you can make that decision if you haven't made it already. Let's pray.